A reading from chapter 33 of the book of Exodus. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I found favor in your sight, show me your ways so that I may know and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest."
And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you the name the Lord.
And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But, he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
It is so good to have you who are physically present this morning here for this special Children's Sabbath service. It is always good to have children among us, but it is especially good this morning. We welcome you back. We have missed you. The stones of this sanctuary have missed you. And yea, perhaps even a couple of preacher's kids could resonate this morning with the words of the psalmist, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go unto the house of the Lord.'" We know that we are not out of the woods yet when it comes to this virus. The numbers are starting to rise, and the experts tell us we are headed now for a third wave of coronavirus cases. So even as we are glad today, we still look with trepidation upon tomorrow. We're all tired and frustrated by now. We have come so far, but yet we still seem to have so far to go. We're worn out and we're worried. What is tomorrow going to bring? Will there be more shutdowns, more layoffs? And what about the election? What about our children? What about our children's children? I think we can all then sympathize with what the Israelites have been saying over these last several weeks as we've walked with them in their wilderness wanderings. Is the Lord with us or not? The Israelites want to know. And knowing the troubles and travails, anxieties and idolatries of his own people, Moses wants to know also. So in this text this morning, Moses goes up to the mountain to have a heart-to-heart with God. and to ask her outright, "Are you with us or not? Will your presence go with us? Will you be faithful unto us even when our own faithfulness wavers?" Because if the answer is no, then let's just end this thing right here. Because there is no way in the world we can make it through this wilderness without you. And God says to Moses, "I will go with you." But worried and scared, Moses doesn't stop there. He wants more than just an assuring word. He wants definitive confirmation. He wants a sign. And so he asks God to see God's glory. And in what must have been a moment of deep disappointment for Moses, God agrees to give Moses a glimpse of the glory, but refuses to let him look on God face to face. So standing there in the cleft of the rock atop the mountain, the glory of God passes by, but Moses' eyes are shut, so he is not able to see it coming, but only it going. So Moses sees not the front side of God, but only the back. Now, what are we to make of that? I read it allegorically. Moses is standing there on the precipice of a new horizon for his people. But he cannot stare directly into the dawn of this new future. It is an exciting but also anxious and uncertain time. It is a fearful time. Who knows how long they'll be in this wilderness? And what's next when they come out? There are reports that there are giants out there in the promised land also. So what does this future hold? What will tomorrow bring? Moses doesn't know. Moses can't know. He can't stare into the rising of tomorrow's sun. He can't see where the presence of God is going to take him. He can only trust that it will be there when he and the rest of the Israelites arrive. So in this moment of what the mystics call the eternal now, Moses must have faith in this eternal God, the God who, as we sang earlier, is and was and will be world without end. Amen. God promises Moses, God will be eternally present to the people. And in trusting the promise, Moses and the people discover that that is who and what God is. The very presence of eternal life itself. We saw that in the first encounter Moses had with God at the burning bush. God told Moses he was to go back to the Israelites and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And God said, when the people were to ask Moses for the name of this God which had sent him, Moses was to tell them that the name was I Am, first person, present tense. God is the first person present of all beings and eternally so, past, present, and future. The great I Am is always and forever, past, present, and future, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus, and the God of this present generation, and also the God of the future, the God of Bo and of Daniel and of Gabby and of young Oliver, whom we dedicated to God this morning. When parents come to dedicate a child to God before the church, that child is always representative of the future for the congregation. Inside that child lives all the hopes and dreams that we have for tomorrow. It's probably a little much to put on young Oliver or any of these other children present here today. But we can't help ourselves. That is why at our litany, we say we look forward to the day when they will confess Christ and gather with us at the Lord's table and grow to love and to serve God through the church. Even in these difficult and uncertain times, when anxiety about the future can be almost overwhelming for us, we still dare to say, we look forward. We dare to have faith. We dare to believe in the future, and we pass that belief on to our children. For as Teilhard de Chardin said, the future belongs to those who give the next generation reason for hope. And we do have reason for hope. For God is with us, God is for us, and as St. Paul said, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Well, okay, perhaps somebody might be against us. Paul could get a little prone to what we might call exaggeration. As someone said of Paul, all that learning went to his head. But even if this world is against us, we take heart because God has overcome the world. God is still for us. Therefore, we are to be not afraid. And we are to teach our children to be not afraid also. Moses was worried about his people. He was worried about his children and his children's children. He wanted to have a crystal ball to know what it was that was going to happen. But God wouldn't give Moses a crystal ball. God told him, rather than having a crystal ball, he would have to settle for having faith instead. You can't see where it is that we're going tomorrow, but you know where we've been together. And mark my words, Moses, just as I've been present with you in the past, I promise to be present with you in the future also. Earlier this week, I was on a Zoom call. I seem to be always on Zoom calls. I was on a Zoom call with some other members of the Bright Divinity School Board of Visitors. And Professor Jaretta Marshall, who was talking about the power of resilience in times like these. Dr. Marshall asked us to think on words or phrases we connected with as she read very powerful words from the prophet Isaiah. I invite you to think on the words or phrases you connect with as I read from the prophet also. This is the word of the Lord. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you cross through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Several on the call shared. One person picked up on the phrase, I have called you by name, our theme for this children's Sabbath service. We not only know God's name, God knows our names, and God knows even all of the hairs on our heads, even the gray ones. And God knows the number of our days also. Another person said something important about some actually being overwhelmed and consumed. Therefore, this text was not something to be interpreted as a promise to every one of us individually, but a promise for us collectively. This is what I think Dr. King was getting at when Moses, like he said on the last night of his life, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. As for me, well, I was struck by how the text says, when you pass through the waters, and when you walk through the fire, and when you cross over the rivers, not if. We all know that it is not a matter of if, but when we will have to come to some fire to pass through in order to purify us, or some water to cross over in order to get us to where it is that we are going. And when we get there, there may indeed be giants in the promised land also, but we go nonetheless, and we do not go alone. God's presence goes with us, so we must not be afraid, either for ourselves or our children or our children's children. For we belong to God, and God knows our names, and He's numbered the hairs on our heads, and our days, and our eternities, and the Eternal One is near to them all. So then, if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether if we die or if we live, we belong always and forever to the Lord. And so, failure or success, sin or faithfulness, God is for us and with us and with our children, and will be forever and ever. Amen. Ruth Bunny Graham is the daughter of Billy and Ruth Bell Graham. Some years ago, she published a book in which she told a story of going through a very rough time with one of her children. She had had a talk about it with her own mother, and a few days later, a package arrived at the door. Inside the package was a plaque that had sat on her mom's Bible study desk for many, many years. It read, "Fear not tomorrow. God is already there." God is already there, waiting on us to arrive. And we shall arrive tomorrow, and we will walk together towards the next day. And with God's goodness and mercy guiding us all the days of our lives, we shall fear no evil, but trust that we shall indeed one day dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Jesus said, "Go, for I am with you always, even unto the very end of the age." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people then said, Amen.